It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. A decade ago, federal officials uncovered evidence of abuse at two Wisconsin juvenile detention centers, Lincoln Hills and Copper Lake in northern Wisconsin. Authorities used excessive solitary confinement, pepper spray, and other forms of abuse.
One federal judge said the convicted domestic terrorist, Ted Kaczynski, had less confinement than children at the Wisconsin facilities. The federal court ordered a consent decree, which required reforms and monitoring of the facilities for almost a decade.
Last week, U.S. District Judge James Peterson ended that federal monitoring, ruling that the facilities are now complying with the law. To help us understand what happened at the facilities and what their conditions are like now, we turn to Kate Burdick. She's a senior attorney at the Juvenile Law Center advocating for youth in the justice and child welfare systems. Kate, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Kate, can you take us back a decade or so? What was going on at Lincoln Hill and Copper Lake that led ultimately to this court-appointed oversight?
Yeah, well, this is a milestone moment to get to this point, given where we started. There were many concerns coming from the community about the draconian conditions that young people were experiencing at Copper Lake and Lincoln Hills a decade plus ago. We were hearing about youth being pepper sprayed regularly. Solitary confinement was rampant. Youth were subject to mechanical restraints and strip searches on a regular basis. And so we and our partners at ACLU of Wisconsin and Quarles and Brady decided that we would file a lawsuit on behalf of the young people at the facilities demanding changes.
This led to a consent decree being put in place. For people who aren't familiar with the legal term there, what is a consent decree?
A consent decree is essentially a settlement agreement in a lawsuit, but where there's continued court oversight. It's a court-ordered settlement. So in our case, various things happened along the way, but eventually the parties came to an agreement about how the facilities would have to treat young people at Lincoln Hills and Copper Lake moving forward. But instead of that being just a private agreement, it was ordered by the court that they would have to comply with the terms of the agreement. And the court was, as part of that, regularly receiving reports from a monitor that the court appointed and also maintaining oversight and enforcement powers.
What were the changes that were made over that time while that observation was taking place under this consent decree?
So there was progress made over time, slow but steady. And what I mentioned before that when we started, youth were subject to solitary confinement. For example, some young people were being held in their cells for up to 60 days, sometimes only getting out of their room for an hour a day. And during that hour, they might have been in mechanical restraints, chained to a desk, sometimes told not to speak to other young people. So now, as part of the consent decree, over time, solitary confinement has been dramatically curtailed. It is no longer allowed to be used as a punishment at all. And the limited amount that it is still allowed to be used for is essentially as a cool down for a very short period of time when a young person is found to be posing an imminent physical and serious threat to others. And so it has gone from being something where a huge percentage of young people at the facility were subject to weeks or months of solitary confinement in extremely dire conditions. And now they are required to have much more limited use of putting youth in their rooms.
One concern was over the use of pepper spray. You mentioned it was the use was pretty widespread early on. There were concerns raised, including from some state lawmakers, that we might be going too far here, that there are more conditions where pepper spray might help maintain safety for the people incarcerated there, for the staff themselves. What are your thoughts on the way the pepper spray issue has been handled under this decree?
I think it's a huge step forward that the facilities were able to completely eliminate pepper spray. And reverting back to pepper spray now, or any of the other harmful conditions that the consent decree had outlawed, that's not the answer. They didn't contribute to a safe environment before the settlement, and they won't now. In fact, making the whole culture better at the facilities is what has allowed for there to be, you know, an overall improvement in safety for the young people and staff there.
And of course, Lincoln Hills and Copper Lake were scheduled to be closed years ago. The deadline keeps getting moved back, but eventually, maybe in the next couple of years, that'll happen. Other, I think, smaller facilities are in the works. What lessons would you want to see the Department of Corrections learn from what has changed at Lincoln Hills and Copper Lake for whatever replaces those two facilities?
So I think first and foremost, this lesson that treating youth appropriately is what keeps youth and staff and everyone safe. We don't need to go back to, as I mentioned, pepper spray or solitary or mechanical restraints, or essentially harm youth, cause further trauma in order to meet those goals. At the same time, I think it's very important here that as the facilities transition to a close, which is long overdue, and the state moves towards this model of new facilities, that we don't lose sight of the overall goal here, which is really that no child should be growing up inside behind bars, right? We want a world in which we are investing in education and supportive programs that keep youth in their homes and their communities, not going back to the failed model of incarceration. Research shows that locking youth up actually increases recidivism, whereas community-based alternatives to incarceration have been shown to be highly effective and cost-effective as well.
Kate, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us.
Thank you again for having me.
That was Kate Burdick, senior attorney at the Juvenile Law Center. We're talking about a federal court decision to end the monitoring of Lincoln Hills and Copper Lake juvenile detention facilities. Now let's hear the perspective of Dane County Juvenile Court Judge Everett Mitchell. Judge Mitchell, thanks for joining us.
I'm so glad to be here with you.
Now, you are in the position of handing out sentences in some cases to minors who come before you in the court. How do you weigh that responsibility, given that they have committed a crime that requires some kind of reaction to they are minors?
I think the statute, the juvenile code, especially 938, allows for us to look at seven factors. And one of the things that we're supposed to look at is how do we assist in the development of competency so that young people, one, don't reoffend, but also don't create more victims. So what you're trying to do is figure out what services are available that can correct the issue that brought the particular young person into court in the first place. And if you can address the underlying trauma, which we see a lot of in our cases, because many of the kids are what we call dual kids. So they started in the child welfare system and then ended up picking up a crime at the age of 10 or so. And then most of them have a lot of trauma, a lot of educational deficiencies with their IEP programs that may or may not be serving their educational needs. Lack of medication, lack of stability in their own housing or family systems. So you're trying to figure out in the midst of a crime that was committed, how can you provide other things to support the young person so they don't reoffend again?
When we had all this news coming out about a decade ago about Lincoln Hills and Copper Lake, were you looking at that and saying, hey, does sending a kid there meet the criteria you just outlined?
10 years ago is when I started, and I remember my first visit to Lincoln Hills is shortly after I was elected, and I made it my business to try to not send children there because children were being abused. They were not receiving the medication that they needed to receive for their mental health. They were being housed in what they call, what we know as solitary confinement, but they had given it a new term called residential housing for 23 out of 24 hours a day. They weren't given the education programming. And so for me, a lot of the young people were coming back. They were reoffending again. So they weren't developing competency. They were learning how to be better criminals. And so 100% of the young people who were coming back, and I want to say this, 100% of the young people who were coming back at that time were reoffending or gravitating to more serious crimes.
With that in mind, with the consent decree signed and in place, do you feel more comfortable with the idea that, hey, Lincoln Hills or Copper Lake could meet some of the needs for kids that not 100% of them would come back and be likely to reoffend?
I think between the time when you had the consent decree and what we have now, we've been able to effectively think about different strategies for before we, take a kid up to Lincoln Hills. I think the more appropriate places is for us is try to take advantage of some of the more regional locations that we need to support, because sending a kid 2 hours north really does break them away from their community and their connections. So I do think that the some of the processes that they put in place are more effective than they were before. So DBT therapy to delective behavioral therapy is important, making sure that they have really access to more outside time and really limit the amount of residential or secure housing so that they have more time. It's just some of the kids, you know, once they're mixed in certain populations, it just inevitably creates a level of criminality that we just try to avoid. So I never feel comfortable having to send a child into any kind of incarcerated setting. I think what we saw in Racine, I don't know if you've covered that, but the Racine had the new facility that was just opened up, and you know, just the attack on that young man is a reminder to us that even the most beautifully laid out intentions and spaces can still recreate more trauma that does not aid in reducing the criminality of young people. But in many ways, it adds to their belief that no one is listening and no one cares. So why should they stop?
Are you optimistic that we're going to have a better system in place that keeps kids closer to home, that steers as many of them as possible away from any form of incarceration?
My hope is that we've learned how to better organize our systems in general so that we're reducing the crimes in our communities. I know when they had proposed the budget, and I'm grateful that the governor reduced the amount, but at one time they charged $1,254 a day to incarcerate one youth, which was close to $468,000 a year to incarcerate one youth. And, you know, that's, you know, almost $500,000 per kid. And so the recognition of how can we use those resources differently is what I think is most appropriate so that we can, you know, be in the front of these issues. So working with our local school districts, working with our community-led partners, our nonprofit organizations, our schools, and, you know, and strengthening some of our core families that we see this pattern emerging and get in front of it so that we're not, you know, spending $500,000 to lock up a child and taking that money away from the community and the vital services that every community needs.
Briefly, Judge Mitchell, what is one thing that you think the public or maybe lawmakers misunderstand or don't understand about young people in the juvenile justice system?
It is the fact that many of them come from the child welfare system. And when we're not able to effectively address the trauma within the child welfare system, they inevitably start picking up crimes. In Wisconsin, it could be at the age of 10 years old. And by not investing in those trauma-informed practices up front, we're basically passing these traumatized children from one system to the next. And then we can't act surprised when they turn 17 and have created more crimes in the adult system that perpetually keeps them in the cycle almost for many of them for the rest of their lives. So we have to, you know, really be more intentional about our young people and the pain that they experience younger, and really be more aggressive in making sure that those resources are available so communities can meet their needs.
Judge Mitchell, thanks again for joining us.
Thank you so much.
That's Judge Everett Mitchell, Dane County Juvenile Court Judge. Now we bring on State Senator LaTanya Johnson, a Democrat who represents a Milwaukee area district. She's a member of the Senate's Committee on Judiciary and Public Safety. Senator Johnson, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, now the legislature voted to close Lincoln Hills and Copper Lake. This all happened years ago. We're way past the deadline. Why are they still operating?
Well, one of the reasons that it's still operating is because we don't have a place currently right now for those kids to go. So we have to have at least two Type 1 facilities, which are the maximum secure facilities for juvenile detention, in place before we can close Lincoln Hills and Copper Lake. One of those facilities that'll be here in Milwaukee, it is expected to be done and open by the end of this year. So we'll be transitioning at least 32 of those kids to that facility when it opens later this year. But Madison has to build their Type 1 secure detention facility, and that's not expected to be complete complete and operational until 2029. So it appears that we will have to have Lincoln Hills and Copper Lake open at least until 2029.
What other kinds of reforms do you want to see when it comes to Wisconsin's juvenile justice system?
I would like to see reforms, especially in terms of education and making sure that those kids that are sentenced have the opportunity to get their GED or high school diploma. Making sure that every child that goes in, especially those kids that are there for a duration of time, even if those classes have to be accelerated, we don't want those kids to go in and then come out and not have that opportunity to get that done during their years of confinement. That's first and foremost. I want to make sure that it's safe working conditions also for the workers who are responsible for housing these kids too. We know that we've had issues with safeties and concerns around safety, but making sure that this is not only a workable situation for the kids, but also for the workers, too, that are responsible for their care.
It seemed like there's pretty general agreement that Lincoln Hills and Copper Lake weren't working right, that they needed to be closed. I think a fair amount of bipartisan agreement there. Do you feel like there's that kind of bipartisan support and attention going on right now to make sure that the new institutions, the bigger ones, maybe smaller regional ones, get it right?
I do think that it's the responsibility is there to make sure that it gets done and it's done correctly, because let's be real, to have that consent decree on Lincoln Hills and Copper Lake, it cost taxpayer more than $25 million in legal fees and settlements related to the abuse and maltreatment that took place there. So there is an incentive to get it right. Also, when it comes to the Joint Finance Committee, making sure that the dollars that are requested to get Lincoln Hills and Copper Lake closed, making sure that money is actually allocated in a timely manner. And we haven't seen that in the past. We know that with the cost of inflation, the cost of supplies, these costs go up. And that's what we saw in the building of the Milwaukee facility. What was once requested at $46 million is now costing us roughly $76 million plus to get that job done. And now we see the request for, or the money being allocated for the Madison facility. The longer it takes for us to get this right, the longer it takes for us to allocate those funds, the longer Lincoln Hills and Copper Lake stays open to these youths, which will cost taxpayers even more money, especially in terms of the daily rate and the operational cost. So I think that there is motivation there to make sure that we get this done right, because at the end of the day, it's costing taxpayers a lot of money when we get it wrong.
Senator Johnson, thanks again for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Senator LaTanya Johnson is a Democrat representing a Milwaukee area district. Earlier, we heard from Dane County Judge Everett Mitchell and Kate Burdick, a senior attorney at Juvenile Law Center. Wisconsin Today invited State Corrections Secretary Jared Hoy to the show, but he was not available. In a joint statement with Governor Tony Evers, Hoy celebrated the end of the court supervision, but added, quote, "Our work is not done. Wisconsin has made a commitment to our youth to use evidence-based practices and create the supports that will allow these youth to return to and thrive in their communities."